7 days a week, giving you the actionable insights and expert perspectives you need to win. And here's more good news.
It's free.
So stay tuned and get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. Pro football full circle.
Big opportunity for Mac Jones this week. I mean, everybody, it all
it is. Look, our entire team has opportunities every day, all the way through the weekends, the Giants in the game. I hope we can all take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, it's all hard. This has been going on so long. You know, it was asked earlier, what was my emotions? It's like, you just expect it and you deal with it. I don't, you know, it's the world we're in, and I'm not going to let it get me down. You know, I wish we weren't having to do this. I'm sure you guys wish we weren't either. It's the way it is, and you know, we'll deal with it now, and we'll continue to deal with it, you know, as we move forward in the season.
We are full throttle ahead on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, Holden Kushner, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL. A lot to get to today. We heard about Urban Meyer naming Trevor Lawrence the first overall draft pick in the NFL this past May. He will be the starter week number one against the Houston Texans. Saquon Barkley back at practice. He eyes a week one return. We'll get into that. But the breaking news happened last night. The New England Patriots, they shipped Sony Michel, their running back from a few years ago, to the LA Rams. He'll back up Darrell Henderson. They get a 5 and a 6th round draft pick, Holden. When you look at this team overall, though, I mean, that really helps the Rams rushing attack with Darrell Henderson and now new quarterback Matt Stafford.
Well, when it comes to Sony Michel, what you've got with the Patriots was somebody that was drafted a little too high. I don't know why Belichick continued to draft those running backs in the first round, but he did. He was 31st overall by the Pats in 2018. You'll remember he had the lone touchdown in the Super Bowl win over the Rams, and maybe that just stuck in the back of Sean McVay's head. I'm not sure. But yeah, he hadn't been able to stay healthy last year. He did have a couple hundred carries in his rookie year, and he was in a backfield that was such a timeshare. It seemed like every week, was it going to be Harris this week? Was it going to be Michelle? Was James White going to be the guy? So more than anything else, I feel like this is McVay saying, I don't have enough depth behind Henderson in order to take care of this. Who was it, Jones? Xavier, the kid they drafted this year, so they drafted a running back. Yeah. So they drafted a running back this year, but the injury to Cam Akers just completely changed this thing, turned it upside down. Then they get the scare with Henderson and his thumb. He's probably going to be fine. But this is a good move. You know, if for the Patriots to get a couple of picks, let's just forget about the fact we're 3 years after he was drafted, it was a bad pick. But at this point, a guy that wasn't able to stay on the field, to get a couple of picks for him is good. That's not a bad thing at all. And then the other thing that I look at on the Sony Michel side is, what's his workload going to be? Is this going to be a full 50-50 timeshare? How is McVay going to use him? Can he step right into this offense and make an impact? I am a little concerned. You know how high I am on the Rams. I tell you this, you know, every time we do a show. I love the Rams this year. A little bit concerned about the running game. Then they went out and got themselves Sony Michel. It's not like he's a game changer, but he is a guy that is going to be slightly above league average if you looked at the numbers when he was healthy last year. This guy stays healthy. It's still an above average backfield, even without Cam Akers.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sony Michel to me reminds me of Cam Akers. If you watched him at Georgia back 4 years ago, especially his freshman season, he caught the football out of the backfield. Georgia had offensive coordinator Mike Bobo at the time. They utilized him in the slot the way New Orleans utilizes Alvin Kamara in the same type of skill set. I don't know what happened from his freshman season until the time he got into that New England Patriot offense, but they really did not utilize or capitalize his pass catch skills. We'll see if Sean McVay does that in this offense. I do feel, Holden, that both him and Henderson will split the carries. I mean, we saw Malcolm Brown for a number of years in that offense split carries with those running backs. I think it's status quo. You need fresh legs, not just for the regular season, but you also need it for a playoff run, right? Akers was the guy that carried you through Seattle, had a dominant performance on the road against Green Bay, but if you could get both of those backs in a playoff type of situation, and just really, really spearheads and really gives your offense another explosive playmaker to add, you know, in terms of your play calling ability.
Yes, and here's the other thing that I like Sony Michel in this. And I'm trying to, I think it was Janky who brought it up. He's a guy that really succeeded in outside zone, okay? An outside zone or man zone. And the Rams ran that 70% of the time last year, highest in the NFL. Yeah, Nathan Janky from Pro Football Focus. And then Sony averaged 4.2 yards after contact on those runs in the outside zone or man. And then he only averaged 3 yards per carry on the other one. So actually, this is a perfect scheme fit for Sony Michel as well. You know, you look at a guy, maybe he gets 10 touches a game. Maybe he gets 10 touches a game. Who knows? But if you're going to be that efficient and that good after the tackle in that scheme, then this might actually be a better move than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out for the LA Rams throughout the 2021 season. Let's talk about Saquon Barkley. It originally looked like Saquon would be out until week number 3, but he's back at practice. He's practicing with the team, and now he eyes a week 1 return against the Denver Broncos. That could be an added benefit to Daniel Jones in New York. I think they definitely need him in that matchup. But do you want to rush him back at this point coming off the ACL?
No, absolutely not, my friend. There's going to be a lot of different layers to this story as it goes on. But ultimately, I think it's a win for both teams.
When we come back, we'll be talking about the Giants, also the Baltimore Ravens. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network. You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Holden Kushner, talking about Saquon Barkley possibly being back in that Giant offense, week number 1 against the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Giants on FanDuel, a plus 1.5 underdog at home to either Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater in that battle. I told you early on, I give the inside edge, no matter who starts that ball game, to Denver. Really think they dominate the Giants defense in that matchup. But another player that the Giants do have coming back is Kyle Rudolph, right? You traded for this guy in the offseason. He comes from Minnesota, passes his physical today, and now he's back at practice. How important, Holden, will Kyle Rudolph be in that Giant offense, not just as a blocking tight end, but as one in the red zone type of opportunities?
It's really interesting, too. And I just saw, I think, Darius Slayton left practice today with a trainer. So hopefully everything's all right with him, too. As far as Rudolph goes, you know, he was good in the red zone, especially for a little bit when he was in Minnesota, right? So he was right. Kind of a red zone threat. We never saw Evan Engram really put it all together to this point. We know he's extraordinarily talented, right? He was extraordinarily talented. So now Rudolph has his chance to be a red zone threat, and I think that's going to be important for Daniel Jones because you can't put enough pieces around this guy. I really don't believe that Daniel Jones is the quarterback next year for this team. That being said, you know, Evan Engram is starting to have some good practices. You know, we talk about that, but he also has not proven that he is capable of being an every down tight end in this league because he can't stay on the field and he's had some drops. On the other hand, Kyle Rudolph, a very consistent tight end. They're going to try and keep him on the field. But personally, when it's all said and done, if Rudolph stays healthy, I would not be surprised if he had more catches than Evan Engram. And I think more than anything, it's because Engram just hasn't been able to stay on the field. When he has, he's had drop issues, right? I mean, what's your take on this situation?
You know, what's funny. I don't know if our listeners are old enough to remember the movie Necessary Roughness with Scott Bakula back in the day.
Horrible movie.
Don't throw the ball to Stonehands. That is Evan Ingram's, right? Don't throw the ball to Stonehands. You never know what you're going to get out of Evan Ingram. The guy's wide open, drops the ball. Cost me some money in that ball game against Philadelphia, right? Signed, sealed, and delivered. How he drops that ball on a Thursday night, I still don't know. But this is a guy that has all the intangibles. He has all the physical attributes, right? He's a hybrid type of tight end, can get open. You can mismatch him on linebackers and nickelbacks, and yet the biggest question mark is his hands. How about you stay after practice, you work with a jugs gun, and you catch a couple of passes? I mean, that's the biggest thing. But I think that, you know, Kyle Rudolph is good to have that veteran type of player in the locker room. It's good to have a big blocking tight end as well, because of the MO you would think for the New York Giants is we're still going to run the football if Barkley is healthy. That's going to be, you know, pound the rock first and work off a play action with Daniel Jones. Because are we in agreement where if the Giants open up this offense, make it five wide, much like, let's say, some of the other offenses like Arizona per se, do we have enough confidence in Daniel Jones to chuck 30, 35 touchdown passes without, you know, throwing turnovers, like throw 33 touchdowns and 8 interceptions? I don't see that happening in the next 5 years for Daniel Jones.
No, I don't see it either. But we go back to the addition of Rudolph, right? I mean, besides for last year where he missed 4 games, he played in 16 games in 5 straight years. So you tell me, the enigma that has all the physical tools that can't catch the football and can't stay on the field, or the veteran who's been in the league, gosh, he's got to be in the league for about 10, 11 years now, that does have good hands, that has proven to be a red zone threat. Yeah, Kyle Rudolph, I actually hope they utilize him a little more than they did in Minnesota. It sounds like from you think he's just going to be a blocking tight end. I think he's going to be more than that, especially if Ingram does not impress early in the year.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think more in red zone opportunity. I think when you look at, like, between the 30s, they're going to utilize him as an extra offensive lineman. I think that's the way they utilize him in this offense, but they might have him and Ingram out there at both times, you know, double tight end type of situations, depending upon, you know, the type of set that they want to utilize. I do feel that Joe Judge is the type of coach, a blue-collar guy, that wants to predicate a physicality, right? That's something that he instilled last year. They want to wear down teams with their work ethic. They want to be physical at the point of attack, and that's where I think Rudolph fits in the offensive scheme. But, you know, bigger picture, Holden, I still don't feel that this team gets the 7 wins this year. That's what they're set on FanDuel, minus 130 juice to the over. With Kyle Rudolph, with Ingram, even with Barkley, it all hinders on the success of Daniel Jones, and that's the biggest X factor for me. He's going to wind up, in my opinion, costing this team at least 2 or 3 games.
2 or 3 games, that's it, huh? No, this is an under team. This is a bad team. Get him in through all of his chips in this year. It's likely not going to work because of the mistake he made taking Daniel Jones as his quarterback, taking Saquon Barkley in the first round. And we said it at the time. You know, some people, I think they forget how critical many of us were of that pick. As great as Saquon Barkley was going to be, why are you doing this with a running back? And this is, what, 4 years ago already? This has been a narrative about the running backs for a while. It was a bad pick that year. It was a bad pick with Daniel Jones. And I think that it will come to fruition this year where we're going to see this team be awful. Next year, they'll have a new starting quarterback. They'll have a new general manager. They'll probably have the same head coach. But the Giants are in a world of disarray once the season gets going. There are weapons around Daniel Jones, but you can put all the fancy things around a garbage can. It's still going to be a garbage can in the end. And I'm sorry, Daniel Jones. This was not personal. This is just him not being a good quarterback.
Well, let's talk about a good pick. Trevor Lawrence taken first overall this year, right? Total on FanDuel is set at 6.5, plus 105 to the over. Named the starter today by Urban Meyer. We know Travis Etienne put on the IR with that foot injury. Marvin Jones might be a little banged up. But, you know, right now when you look at Trevor Lawrence, he is the guy, right? This is the guy that the team is going to deal with in terms of growing pains this season. Let's get it out. Let's get it, you know, taking care of in 2021. This is a team that won their first game last year, dropped 15 straight. So in terms of, you know, big picture, I don't think that we're in agreement that it's not a playoff team, but let's rebuild, let's get it respectable this year, and let's look to the 2022 campaign.
Well, when you have the right quarterback, then everything's a lot easier. And I think you and I would agree if Trevor Lawrence doesn't work out, that would be a massive failure on so many levels. This guy's just so talented. And I'll repeat this. He's going to have a miserable year. It's going to be very difficult for Trevor Lawrence. You know, they're still trying to figure out their offensive line. They got a couple of injuries there. Marvin Jones left with that AC joint that's up in your shoulder. Not too worried about that right now unless there's a massive, you know, catastrophic damage in that shoulder. But think about the guys they put around him, too. They did draft ATN. Fine, that's not going to work out this year. But James Robinson still had a monster year with a monster workload. DJ Chark, Laviska Shenault. I mean, these are good pieces that they put around him. Unfortunately for him, he's going to get mauled because of that offensive line. So it's going to be a long one. You and I are – you don't like hearing me talk about them, do you? I feel like I feel like it's an unprepared team heading into the year. I don't understand what you're doing running plays off of tackles with a banged-up offensive line late in the game, even in the preseason. I know these teams don't game plan, but – the questions is just, what are they doing? I don't understand the defensive philosophy where you're going out and you're going to have single high coverage in your secondary because you're going to try and stop the run. Like, who builds their offense to stop the run or their defense to stop the run anymore? Urban Meyer, I guess. You know how bad these guys like Chaseon and Jones are going to get fried this year? Just completely burned. You can't do this with these guys. So they did bring in Shaq Griffin. I mean, that's not a bad move, but I think this is going to be a debacle of a season for them. But going forward, buying in because they got the right guy under center.
Oh, we'll see how it plays out. Baltimore Ravens up next. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Ripping through the NFL, talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. We talked about Trevor Lawrence being named the starter. Before we transition to the Baltimore Ravens, Trevor Lawrence's total on FanDuel dropped 50 yards with the injury to ETN and Marvin Jones a little nicked up. It was 41.50 and a half about a week ago. It's down to 41.00 and a half. A lot of people saw that week one performance. They also watched the performance the other night against New Orleans. The offensive line broke down. Trevor Lawrence was inconsistent. A lot of the receivers did not get open. Do you see him surpassing this? I still think he could get to this number because they're going to be trailing in games. I think they're going to put the football in his hand. They're going to live and die by Trevor Lawrence. So I still think it's a good bet, even though they shaved 50 yards off his total.
So what is the total one more time? Because I'm trying to do some math here, and it's not easy for me to do.
4,100 and a half. So he needs 4,101 to get the over.
So that's about 247 yards, give or take a yard or two, 247 a game for a team where they actually put weapons around him.
I like the weapons they have. Chark, Shenault, they're good.
Yeah, I think he gets sacked a lot. I think he gets pummeled. I mean, again, you have to hope that he stays healthy and he plays all these 17 games. But if he plays the 17 games, how does he not get to that? Which is hilarious. Could you imagine like 10 years ago? Oh, you know, this rookie quarterback's going to throw for 4,100 yards. Like it's nothing. Oh. Now it's like, 4,100 yards. Yeah. All he's got to do is throw for 247 a game. We got an extra game, and this is the way the league works out. But, yeah, I kind of like that prop. I actually like it a lot. I'm going to dig into it a little more after the show, but how does he not get that in that kind of game script?
That's what I'm saying. I think they're going to abandon the run. I know James Robinson is a nice back. We talked about him the other day, 1,070 rushing yards, but he's not elite. He's a compiler. But at the end of the day, they're a pass.
Hold on.
They're a pass-first offense.
They are. Yes, he's a compiler. They're bailing on James Robinson. They're just going to throw the ball 60 times, and James Robinson is not going to be part of the game plan.
I think this offense is going to look more what he had at the end of his career in Columbus with Ryan Day. I really believe that. I think they're going to be a pass-first type of offense. I think Lawrence chucks it 40 to 45 times a game. James Robinson gets 15 to 18 carries at the most in this offense.
All right, so let's do some more math. You know, we got 16 times 4 is what? That's 68. So basically, if he averages, he averaged 4.5 yards per carry last year with that team. With that team, with that coaching staff, with that offensive line, I get it, he got the ball 240 times on the ground. But he averaged 4.5 yards per carry. How does he not increase or at least keep that if they're going to throw the ball 50 times a game?
I
disagree with you on Robinson. Yeah.
And he plays 17 games. Do we really think he's going to get the ball 306 a game? Let's do it to the lower end. If he does 15 carries a game times 17, 255, he's right there. I don't know if he's going to average 4.5 yards per carry. I think that's the biggest question mark for me. Because I'm not sold on his ability. I think he played well, and I'm not taking away from him being a 1,000-yard rusher, but I'm not wowed by James Robinson. He doesn't scare me. You know, I would allow James Robinson to beat me in that offense. I'm not, if I'm an opposing defense, allowing those wide receivers to beat me over the top. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I would pick my poison that way. I'm taking away the deep ball with Trevor Lawrence, Chark, Surnault, Jones when he's healthy, and I'll let them ground and pound as much as they want. They can methodically work down the field. I'm limiting big plays. I think that's how you play it if you're going up against the Jaguars this year.
I'm just looking at some of these guys here. I can't even find. So rushing yards before contact. I can't even find James Robinson on this list. He was getting pummeled. Here we go. He's 40th. He had less than 2 yards before contact. I mean, the fact that you are besmirching the name of James Robinson really hurts my feelings. I hope that it hurts his feelings. He was 27th in rush attempts per broken tackle. I mean, that's not bad at all. He went from 40th there. He was 14th in broken tackles. He was tied with Melvin Gordon, Kenyon Drake. You're just in ahead of
he's
Jonathan
five,
Taylor.
He's 5'9", too. He's 212. 5'9", 212. That's
What's
another
wrong
thing.
With that?
Nah, that's not an NFL back.
I mean,
to me, it's a situational back, and he did well last year. I need to see it before I believe it for Jacksonville. We'll see.
Hold on
a second. We'll make that one of our wagers this year on the show. We'll see. You're taking over James Robinson.
All right. Alvin Kamara is 5'10", 215.
Okay. He's built differently, though. Kamara's more lean. He's more of a sprinter. Right, exactly.
Okay. So give me another guy that's kind of like, how about Ezekiel Elliott?
I'd say this, and this is a team we're going to talk about. I make the compliment of James Robinson to Gus Edwards from Baltimore last year. I think he's the same type of running back. And I know Gus Edwards had a very productive season with Lamar Jackson last year, gave way to J.K. Dobbins. But I look at both of those backs as the same type of back. And let's be honest, right? Gus Edwards, now he gave way to Dobbins. Dobbins, we're in agreement, is the elite back, right, with the Baltimore Ravens? I mean, we already talked about that in terms of his upside throughout 2021.
So just go, what's the Robinson rushing prop? Because you and I don't
I'm
bet.
Trying to get one. The problem is that FanDuel doesn't have one up on there. I'm looking for DraftKings now with ETN, you know, injured. I figured that they would throw up a James Robinson prop, and I don't see it right now. But I'll try to get one as we talk about the Ravens. I'll get one up there in terms of his rushing prop total. I would assume it's in the area of about 900 yards. We'll get a comp. I'll give you a couple of other players that are complementary to James Robinson.
Real quick.
And then we'll break it down.
He was at 650. He was at 650 rushing yards earlier in the month, like at the beginning of the month. 650. They're adding 300 yards because of the ATN injury?
Well, I mean, I think part of the mindset was, and I don't know, I haven't looked. I'm trying to get one up. But, I mean, how could you not say he's not going to be the go-to back? If you're talking about a 1,000-yard rusher last year that got 240 carries, right, you're going to put him at 600? You're going to take 400 yards off his total?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we had. Here's what I got, too. I got another site. 670 for Robinson. It was 650 for Travis Etienne. So what they're saying is if you think that they're going to set it in the 900s, he's going to take half of the rushing yards that Etienne was going to have, and then Carlos Hyde will take the other ones. So,
right. I mean, do we agree that fine. Etienne is probably out at least until week 10, week 11 with that foot?
No, he's
if they
done.
Put him on IR? Right.
He's done. He's done.
Okay, so then there we go.
Take him out of the equation.
Yeah, so there's 1,200 between them, and now you take away ETN's totals for this year. Now you're left with just Robinson. You're not going to set 1,100 on James Robinson solely. I think they reset it when they do it. At like 900 is a fair number.
Okay. So it could be because the volume will probably go down from last year,
right?
What you're thinking, and they'll throw it in the 900 range. I think James Robinson still has a shot to get to that. Absolutely.
All right. Well, absolutely. I'll try to get a number in the break. We'll see if we can find it. FanDuel did not have one set on Robinson. But we heard in the beginning of the show as well, yesterday came out a report about how a couple of scouts said that they're going to have a read on Lamar Jackson this year. And a reporter asked Lamar, and he's like, yeah, okay, doubt that, but we're just going to play football and we'll see what happens. You're talking about a guy that just tore it up over the last couple of years. Now, we're talking regular season. We're not talking playoffs. And when you look at Lamar Jackson, total this year in terms of getting through the air in terms of his passing total, it's a little light holding 3,400 and a half right now on FanDuel. Based off of what you saw and now with Rashad Bateman now for a period of time, do you think he could get there? Because I still think it's a high number for him.
So he hasn't gotten there. We know in 2019 he had 3,127 yards. Okay. Last year, 15 games, 2,757. So here's what I like to hear. These are just little things. Offensive coordinator Greg Roman, the ball is spinning tighter. So he went this offseason trying to change his mechanics. We talk about spin rate in baseball. There's now spin rate in the NFL. And I think it's going to change a lot of things. Nobody's talking about it right now, Lisey. This guy, they remade his mechanics for to make sure the ball is spinning differently. The question is how accurate can it be? It's just going to come down to accuracy and how many chunk plays that they can make. He's still going to use his legs. I'm not too worried about this passing yards prop. I don't want anything to do with it, honestly, because really what we're doing with Lamar Jackson is figuring out how many rushing yards he's having. I think he will take a step forward. It wouldn't shock me to see him throw for 3,500 yards this year. And the question was, and it was whoever the reporter was, he's like, there's an unknown person that said that they figured you out. It's like, it's the dumbest question I've ever heard in my life, but it got a great reaction. He's like, no, they didn't figure me out. They didn't figure me out at all. It doesn't matter what he does in the regular season either, does it? It comes down to what he does in the playoffs. And,
exactly.
You know, I thought in 18, after that amazing rookie year, the Chargers, he gets into the playoffs, and they totally figured him out. The next year, he gets into the playoffs. Tennessee blows him out. And then last year, there was a little like, oh, okay, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe they didn't figure him out. He just took Tennessee out. He only threw for 179 yards, but he ran for a touchdown, and things were going well for him. He ran for 136, and then Buffalo figured him out. So, yes, there is a lot to sift through when it comes to Lamar Jackson, but I am still buying into the talent. I think he's farther behind the other quarterbacks when he was drafted just because the way he was taught and used in college. But now in the fourth year, if he can't lead them deep into the playoffs, like at least an AFC championship game this year, I'm concerned. I'll be concerned because the pressure's coming down on him, buddy.
That'll be at his rushing total, 945 and a half on DraftKings. When we come back, we'll be talking about Lamar.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We left off talking about Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens offense. Last year, number one ranked rushing offense in the NFL, 191 rushing yards per game. When you look at Lamar Jackson on DraftKings right now, I said it before the break, holding 945 and a half. And juiced slightly to the over at minus 115. So you couple the 1,000 yards on the ground, let's say 950, right around 3,400 through the air. I mean, FanDuel and DraftKings think collectively he's about 4,400 total yards. And here's the biggest thing for me now that Bateman's out, is that with those playmakers out and without him developing a quarterback to wide receiver relationship, right? Tylan Wallace is there. Marquise Brown is there. We have Mark Andrews that does suffer at times with drops as well. Does he have a tendency early on in the season to tuck it and run more so now without those playmakers involved and, let's say, 100% healthy? And that might take away from his passing total for the year. And then, obviously, he blows through the 945 and a half on the ground.
I mean, if you think he goes under that total, there's two things you're thinking. A, he's getting injured, or B, they're going to completely revamp the offense this year and he's going to run less. Which one do you think?
I think there's the tendency to I'm slightly bullish on his rushing total and under on the passing total, because I don't know if he has 100% confidence. He can say it all he wants, right? But at the end of the day, it's a reaction type of game. So the minute that he doesn't see an open receiver, especially early on without Bateman, let's say, I think the tendency is going to be, let me tuck it and run, and let me try and, you know, spark plug this offense as quickly as possible, because they're relying on me now more so than ever.
So, again, I think that I love the fact he's working on his mechanics, that he's working on his spin rate. They don't call it spin rate or anything like that. But given the amount of success they've had in the regular season, I still think they use his legs. That's just how important it is. Maybe he dials it back a little bit. Maybe he does use his arm a little bit more. I think that's going to be what they're going to need in the playoffs. You know, you can get through the regular season, I think, especially if Jackson continues to avoid hits. That's something that's not talked about enough in the NFL. And I'm going to address it right now. There are quarterbacks that don't know how to avoid contact. They actually love the contact. It ended RG3's career. It really has ended Marcus Mariota's chances of being a starting quarterback. But at least Lamar knows when to get down, knows when to get out. Russell Wilson is the guy that does it the best. I think it's really important for a running quarterback to be able to avoid all the injuries, get out of bounds, get down, just hope there's not a dirty shot at the end. So I love that Lamar Jackson does that. I think the rushing yards are right where it needs to be. I think it's kind of a 50-50 proposition. The passing yards, I would lean to the under, very slightly lean to the under. Has the NFL figured him out? Well, I think they did figure him out in the playoffs these last 3 years. Now it's time for him, after these adjustments, to prove that they didn't figure him out. Regular season totals, I think he's going to be fine. Unfortunately for Lamar, he's just going to be judged on what he does in January and possibly February.
Just the way the great quarterbacks are, right? You know, what have you done in terms of bringing your team playoff wins and playoff Super Bowls, right? That's all it comes down to. Playoff wins and Super Bowl titles. That's how we judge the marquee quarterbacks in the NFL. It's just how it is. That's why they get the money, and they get judged first before anybody else. I think you're right in terms of how teams view him and how teams prepare for him. Biggest thing is defensive ends. Outside linebackers need to maintain their integrity. You can't rush down the line of scrimmage thinking Lamar Jackson is contained, and then all of a sudden he breaks it backside and he's got a 50-yard touchdown run. And I agree with you in this. It's great during the regular season, but if you're relying on Lamar Jackson in a playoff type of environment to break a 50 or a 60-yard run, especially if they're trailing, you could maybe do it one game like they did against Tennessee, but doing it over the course of a playoff run or Super Bowl game, that's very difficult. He needs to develop in terms of the passing attack in 2021. How about this situation, and I haven't gotten your take on it, in Chicago. Matt Nagy, he's got his feet in the ground. around, man. Andy Dalton, his starter, is his starter week number one. He doesn't care who says what, who's critical of him. He wants Andy Dalton starting that week one matchup. And I need to break this down with you because I need to know more. Matt Nagy's on the hot seat. To me, he's dead man walking. What does he see in Andy Dalton that makes him want to go with this guy over Justin Fields throughout the season? I mean, their win total is 7.5 this year. I said it multiple times. There's no way Chicago gets to that total on FanDuel at minus 130 to the over with Andy Dalton at the helm.
So Kirby Smart did the same thing, didn't he? Kind of had Justin Fields at Georgia, and then that didn't really go too well. So now Matt Nagy is doing it again. This poor guy, Justin Fields. I don't feel bad for him because he's going to be a super stud, but Nagy's deciding to call the plays and give Andy Dalton the number one quarterback job. What is he doing? I thought that Matt Nagy needed to save his job. I thought that Matt Nagy had to go and get to the playoffs this year. I think it looks better when Matt Nagy is running, when Justin Fields was running the offense over Andy Dalton. I don't know. Maybe he's just playing it safe. Maybe he doesn't have a sense of urgency. Maybe every game is not as important as it is to every other team. But this does not make sense to me. I'm not also buying the excuse that, well, he's not playing because they don't want to play him against the best defense in the league and Aaron Donald. Well, I'll tell you this much. A mobile quarterback's going to give you a much better shot of beating the Rams as opposed to a statue. What are you doing, man? Now,
I don't know.
Listen, maybe Matt Nagy's taking a victory lap, you know, after week one, if this works out and the Bears can upset it. But listen, he's on the inside. He sees something that we don't. But from the outside, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. None.
Well, maybe he starts him week one and then he pulls him in week two. Maybe that's his game plan throughout the season.
Right.
I said
Why?
It's 7.5. I don't know. I don't know. I think he's a complete idiot. I really do, Matt Nagy. I've never been a fan of Matt Nagy, especially in red zone opportunities. Go back the last couple of years, he handcuffed, in my opinion, Mitch Trubisky. He was very conservative. He rolled him out to the short side of the field, never utilized his weapons. It's amazing. And I'm not a big Trubisky backer, but when you watch Trubisky light it up over in the preseason, you have to say, you know what? How much of his production was hindered by Matt Nagy and that offensive staff? I will say this in terms of their actual total. I said 7.5. It's juice to the over. It's not. It's plus 100. You might want to take a shot with that because I do feel that Justin Fields does give them that possibility with his legs. So if they implement him, let's say week four, week five, week two, you at least have an opportunity to get to 7.5 wins this season. The other question was this. We heard about Khalil Mack. We heard about the potential in the offseason of the Raiders reaching out to see about his availability, and the Bears said, no, thanks. It's okay. We're good. You screwed up a few years ago. We're keeping our guy. But here's the thing, though, too, Holden, and maybe I'm crazy, but would you, if you're the Raiders, do you really want Khalil Mack right here, right now? He's an aging guy. He maybe is starting on the downside. I'm not saying he's washed up by any means, but again, I didn't see that same dominance that I saw in his first year in Chicago. So is that the type of recipe you want if you're the Raiders and Gruden?
I mean, no, I still don't. At least Gruden's admitting that he made a major mistake there. I'm waiting for him to admit the mistake that he took Josh Jacobs too high, that you don't take running backs in the first round.
I thought so, too. And everybody's like, no, Josh Jacobs is great. Look, he's a 1,000-yard rusher. But, you could have gotten him in the second and third round. Nobody was really reaching up for Josh Jacobs at that point. He was underutilized at Alabama.
No, it doesn't make sense to me. And then Khalil Mack, you know, he said he was really emotional after that trade, too. I mean, he was not happy. He's happy that he got the new contract. He wasn't happy. He said he got really emotional about the deal. He wasn't happy that they had given up on him after, you know, being so good. Now, for you to say, let me ask you, for you to say that Khalil Mack might be on the downside, he's 30 years old, man. He's still got 2-3 elite seasons left in him.
He might have elite seasons, but I didn't see it last year. I mean, let's look at that defense was torched last year. They were torched.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he was better in Chicago, too, because he had more around him as opposed to again, that doesn't make sense. I'm just thinking about it through my head. That's a great point, Lisey. Like, that doesn't make sense that he took that big step back, but I think he still has a couple of big years left in him. And if the Bears have any shot of getting to the playoffs and they're going to start Andy Dalton, then their defense better be one of the top two or three in the league.
Exactly. And they were like 15th in the league last year, total statistically, right? So they need to get back into the top 10 for this team to have any chance to sniff 7.5 wins. We'll see if they can do it this coming season. I know you wanted to talk about Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Win total set at 9 for this team. They've looked dominant, right? They're going to rest their starters this coming weekend in terms of the preseason game. We're going to see the third string. We're going to see Dwayne Haskins. But this team, big picture, right? 9 wins. I'm still not buying in. I know Najee Harris has looked good. I know Ben is completing passes overall. But I still have major concerns for the Pittsburgh Steelers this season.
So I'm not as concerned as you until Ben's arm legitimately falls off. More than anything else, I was just interested about this week, you know, this preseason game they got coming up against the Panthers, because there's going to be no Ben, there's going to be no Najee Harris, there's going to be no Mason Rudolph. And I told you, I bet the under 16.5 team total. I don't know where to go on the full game total. And then as far as the full season goes, I got to say this, Tomlin has gotten really, really hammered for some of the coaching moves. For you go back to the Le'Veon Bell situation and that relationship, and the Antonio Brown situation and that relationship. But this is always a 500 team or better. There's just too much of a track record for me to say, oh, the Steelers are going to be a bad team this year. No. They still have a massive upside offensively with the addition of Harris. And I don't want to say he's going to be Le'Veon Bell off the bat, but come on, man. This is what they were missing last year, and they got the most important piece out there.
But were they wrong about Le'Veon Bell? Where's Le'Veon Bell right now? I mean, he wasn't used by Andy Reid in Kansas City, so you could say that the Pittsburgh Steelers made a great move in terms of moving on from Le'Veon Bell, even though the rushing attack hasn't been the same and the offensive line broke down. Even if Le'Veon Bell was in that lineup, there's no guarantee that they were going to be status quo and rushing for over 100 yards per game. Yeah. This is an offense that rushed 546 over the last 9 games of 2020. I will say this, though, the betting market, and I get your take, 8.5 plus 110 to the over now. So over. They're giving you an incentive.
Over. And Le'Veon Bell was great in that system. The problem was when he left, was when it all went downhill. Pittsburgh has won 8 games every year under Tomlin, 8 games or more, and that's a 16-game season. I know that they finished very weakly last year, but the fact that they could go 12-4 with that team, they're going to be in the mix again, and they're going to be a good football team this year. I wholeheartedly believe that.
We'll see if Big Ben can lead this team to the playoffs when we come back. Week 1 lines, Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Wrapping up today's show, you heard Holden speak before the break that the Denver Broncos have named Teddy Bridgewater over Drew Locke starting week number 1 against the New York Giants. Looking at the line right now on FanDuel, sitting pretty at -1.5, -110 either way. But I have to be honest, Teddy B is my guy. He gives his team the best opportunity to win. Love the Broncos week 1, but more importantly, Holden, love them over their season win total of 8.5.
Yeah, I think they're going to be flirting with the playoffs. And Teddy's an absolutely average quarterback. He's not going to spread the field too much. but he has so many weapons around him. Jerry Jeudy, huge step forward in year two. I really believe that. Noah Fant drops, but still one of the most talented tight ends in the league. KJ Hamler, your boy. Love that they drafted Williams with Melvin Gordon back there. Love that they got Surtain with the rest of that defense. Interesting, 5 years in a row that the Broncos will have a new quarterback under center. 5 years in a row.
That's
incredible. Tells you how bad Drew Lock is. Tells you how down the organization is on him. And if you watch that performance, I know it was a preseason game, but if you saw Teddy Bridgewater in that preseason game last week, you're saying, how can this guy not be the starting quarterback? He was humming, man. That was such an efficient offense. I'm excited about this team now. I have not been truly excited about this team in the offseason because I still thought there was a chance that they'd be dumb and name Drew Lock the starting quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater, that talent, built around a running game, maybe open it up as the season goes along with that defense. Yeah, yeah, it is at least this is a 9-8 team, possibly 10-7.
Over. You're coming over to the dark side. I love it. And here's the thing, too.
I'm on it.
If they don't get over the 8.5 at minus 105 on FanDuel, Vic Fangio is dead man walking, I'll tell you that. He's still trying to figure out the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Vic, let's open it up. You have weapons there. Let's challenge defenses vertically. I mean, it's amazing what Vic Fangio has done. We're here all week. We'll see you tomorrow. For Holden Kushner, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone.